Welcome to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm your host, Derek Brose. In every episode of this podcast, we're going to explore solutions in the areas of health, permaculture, growing your own food, technology. We'll be interviewing guests who are providing important solutions that are more important than ever in this time we are living in. The Activation Podcast is focused on bringing you cutting-edge solutions to empower humanity. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Activation Podcast. This week, I have a really exciting guest, somebody I've recently become aware of. You know, there's so many different people in the fields of truth and permaculture and spirituality and these different intersecting communities that are focusing on solutions. It's always exciting for me to find out about somebody that I'd never heard of before who's doing really good things, especially practical things that you can implement in your own lives, things that you can do to help better the planet, enrich your community, your food, and things of that sort. So please welcome Mr. Jim Gale to the Activation Podcast. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Derek, and thank you so much for having me on. I'm very eager to share my message with the world, as many people as possible, because it is a message of freedom. And it's not, I love all of the people, and they're my heroes in a lot of ways, that are talking about the why, right? Why do we need to wake up and why do we need to take action? We talk about the how, exactly how to be free. And I'll get very detailed in how everybody can start creating the foundation of freedom. And one of my favorite quotes is, there's one thing stronger than all of the armies of the world, and that is an idea whose time has come. Well, I'm going to share that idea in great detail with you. And by the end of this talk, your listeners will say, holy shit, that's the solution to all of it.
Beautiful. Well, great to have you with me, brother. And like I was just saying, I love people who are focusing on solutions. It's so important right now. Talking about the why and the different stories of what's happening, it does have a place. That's why I do journalism. But I think more importantly at this moment, maybe more important than ever, is just to provide people with practical ideas and things they can implement in their lives. And I know that's what you're very much doing. So before we get into the what you are doing and with your projects, tell us a little bit about your background, whatever you feel like sharing, you know, what brought you to this path that you're on now.
For about 3.5 decades, I've been studying the great minds of success and achievement, from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, Anthony Robbins and Wayne Dyer, Zig Ziglar, Deepak Chopra, all these different people. Some of them I am not so much in alignment with now, partly because they don't really understand what's going on in the world. And what I've learned in permaculture, in fact, Einstein said, if I want to solve a problem, and I have an hour to do so, I'll spend the first 55 minutes defining the problem in great detail. And then I'll spend the next 5 minutes and I'll solve the problem, right? The problem is very clearly governmente. It is the loss of control of our own minds, right? It's the programming that is insidious throughout society, through the media of all forms, through our cultures, through our big industries. It is meant to control the mind of the peasants, of the slaves. Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. And so what I like to do is say, okay, here's the problem. The problem is counting on somebody else to protect us, to provide for us, when it is so ridiculously easy to provide for ourselves, right? The idea that Victor Hugo was talking about, that's stronger than all of the armies of the world, is the Garden of Eden idea. This is an ideal that I started studying. I really dove into the rabbit hole about 14 years ago. And at the same time, I had my first two daughters. And so I was looking at the world through a new lens, a more long-term lens, and asking new questions. What's the world going to be like in 20 years and 30 years? What's the world of my grandkids going to be like? And that's when I learned, that's when I learned about Building 7. And that's when I learned about all this different craziness going on. And I went through a period of cognitive dissonance, which is very painful. It's non-resonance with everything good, right? Because you've got competing belief systems in your brain and you don't know which one is right. So it's a period of a little bit of suffering, right? And that's when I was focusing on the problem. So after a couple of years of that, I really started asking, what can I do? And Napoleon Hill's quote, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve, that just stuck out to me. And I'm like, you know what? I can conceive and I can believe that there is a solution to these problems. And then I've spent the last like 14 years obsessed with finding the answer to those problems. And we found it. It's inspiring and catalyzing a shift in consciousness that leads to mass adoption of the most logical thing in the world. And that is planting food instead of lawns. And I'm not talking about a complete transformation of 100% of lawns. Lawns can be functional. They can be valuable. But when we turn 50% of the 40 to 50 million acres of lawn just in the United States alone into regenerative edible landscape that takes less maintenance than a lawn if you want it to, then we literally reverse mass extinction and deforestation and cancer and heart disease and diabetes and all of the tools of enslavement and tyranny.
Wow. Wonderful, brother. Great, great way to start the conversation. So tell us a little bit more about your background specifically with doing food forests and helping plant food, as you talked about, like the importance of this, right? How did you get into that work? And tell us about food forest abundance.
So when I was going through this period of kind of struggle and asking new questions, I had sold a mortgage company that did about $1.3 billion in gross revenue. I bought a yacht, lived on the ocean for a year. And so I had time. And so I just dug in and I watched every video, all the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, every video you could probably imagine back then anyway. And then I came across this whole permaculture science. Which is permaculture means permanent culture. It's a sustainable agricultural design science. In fact, I don't even like the word sustainable anymore because it's been so corrupted. It's a regenerative. It's a science of abundance, of how to actually create a yield that is far beyond the amount of energy that it takes to create and maintain a system. It's a net positive. Excuse me. So I started studying that and I read Bill Mollison's quote, though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. And I honestly started to sob because I was looking for something to break me out of this pattern. So from that day forward, I started focusing on the solutions, which is understanding the principles of permaculture and how to use permaculture to inspire and catalyze this shift.
Permaculture is such a big part of the solution. You know, myself and Miriam in the past year, we've, you know, got our permaculture certification and just have been learning from people over the years, Stephen Brooks and some others in Costa Rica doing really beautiful communities and as well as doing urban farming in Houston since 2010 and kind of learning, working in some of the poorest neighborhoods of the Fifth Ward of Houston and creating food oases where there was food deserts. And it just showed me so much of what was possible. And then as well as having some experience, like my grandmother having a farm in Kentucky and doing more traditional like farming, not like on a mass scale, but you know, for her homestead. And these kind of concepts have just been around me a lot. I've realized as I got older, I was like, wow, the seeds were being planted throughout my whole life of just like, take care of yourself, learn to grow your own food. And it's been a wonderful journey. And I think one that you probably would agree is equally a spiritual journey as much as anything else, right? Getting connected to the food and to the plants and to the earth. And I think it's even a more powerful experience with trees because trees last a long time. Tell us a bit about that, about just the importance of planting trees and why food forests are so necessary. Maybe if someone doesn't know what a food forest is, maybe you could define that for us.
Absolutely. A food forest is a designed food production system that mimics a natural forest. So people say, you know, how much, I don't want to be a farmer. How much effort is going to take on my part to maintain this food forest? And I point to their favorite forest. I say, do you have a forest around your house or down the road or something? And they say, yeah. I said, who maintains it? And they go, what are you talking about? Exactly. There's, when you design and install a food forest correctly, you could walk away for 30 years, and 30 years later, some of the plants Many of them are going to be alive and thriving. Some of them aren't going to be alive. The competitive nature of these systems is going to just evolve over time. But the ones that are alive are going to produce so much food. And then if you want to maintain a system, for instance, a lot of our customers, our target market, by the way, is the suburban backyard, because that's zone one for our culture. Right? It's the easiest access. It's where people own their land, supposedly. Of course, that whole land ownership rights is another story. But when you can walk out into your backyard and you can have 30 or 40 different species, different types of food growing from many different types of berries and grapes and vining plants, up fences and up trees, and then the herbaceous layer, excuse me, frog in my throat, mushrooms at the base. And then you go up, maybe you have some medicinal plants growing. I love ginger and turmeric and so many more. Yerba mate now, I use that instead of green tea. I just go outside and grab some leaves, put in the grinder. Sometimes I mix it with coffee and it's the best thing in the world for you, right? Moringa trees, the leaves are, it's known as the miracle tree. And it has like more of all the major nutrients, vitamin C, vitamin A, iron, potassium, calcium, then milk and all these different things, right? And so when you stack it, when you have a system that has roots and tubers underground all the way up to the overstory fruit trees and all in one space, you can produce an incredible amount of yield with very, very little effort.
What would you say is the minimum size that you would recommend for something that we would call a food forest?
We just did a design for somebody, I believe they're in some country in Europe, and it's 400 square foot on the ground, and it is absolutely stacked. Like there's so much food growing there in the design. Now, these systems, they take a while to come to fruition, right? It takes maybe the first year, they look kind of sad. They look like little baby trees, right? And they've just been transplanted, so they look kind of weak. Then, as long as you amend the soil properly, the next year, they'll quadruple in volume, in mass, right? And by the third year, you're getting an incredible yield. Now, some plants, annuals, you can get a yield up, you know, within 3 to 6 months. But the perennials are the ones that are my favorites, because you could literally have the Garden of Eden everywhere. Food growing everywhere is how it should be. And the fact that it's not that way is not by accident, and it's not by ignorance. It's by wicked intention. And so when we can know that the governmente, govern means to control and mente means mind, is all about enslavement and stealing the energy of the people, then we free our minds and rise above fear into this place of faith and courage. And then joy and love and abundance. So that's it goes together, like you were implying at the beginning of the show. It goes together hand in hand. The Garden of Eden ideal, which is logical everywhere, and the raised vibration. And one begets the other.
Absolutely. It's such a crucial part of being a free person. Like you said, freeing your spirit, but being sovereign of your own food supply, right? We need this more localized food economy, more decentralized food production, localized food production. And to me, food forests are just such a big part of that. And this idea you're talking about of being able to convert even just half of the lawns available, you know, backyard space, whatever it may be, into producing food everywhere, it really would revolutionize everything. You know, in fact, the urban farm that I used to work with, it was called the Last Organic Outpost. And as I said, it was in a food desert, like pretty wide area that would be considered a food desert in the Fifth Ward of Houston, on what was a concrete slab, like an abandoned truck lot, and just kind of got left there. And then over years, bringing in things like moringa, papaya, so many different things. It was just a great place for experimenting with hugel culture and just row gardening and all kinds of things. It was just a fun place for experimenting. Awesome. But I saw just the wonders that come from, first, you have this space where people are learning to grow their food. People show up, we would have garden days. We would say, hey, come, you know, work in the garden for a few hours, plant some trees, plant some, you know, some plants. We're going to cook some food at the cob oven. We're going to make some pizzas. And then we built a little stage. We're going to play some music afterwards. And before you know it, this community just formed around that space, because the people from the neighborhood it wasn't just like the activists from out of town or from other neighborhoods coming there. It was the neighborhood themselves were starting to get greens where they were none available for them grown organically in their own neighborhood. And it was just such an amazing thing to see. And I think there's so much power to that, to bringing food to a community and to just the that community that gets created around it.
Hold that thought. Guys, before we go any further, I want to tell you a little bit about a project that I recently launched called the Holistic Self-Assessment Online Course. Now, some of you know that I released this book, The Holistic Self-Assessment, in April 2018. And essentially, this book is the culmination of the experiences I had when I went to prison, dealing with addiction, dealing with depression, and suicide attempts. This is the process that I took myself through to get to know who I am, to get to know my principles, to get to align my relationships, my words, my thoughts, and actions with those principles. Overall, it's meant to be a self-empowerment, self-help guide that can help you start accomplishing your goals by aligning your principles with your actions. The book is available to download for free, and I'll include that link below. But if you're interested, I did recently launch a new online course, which you can find on the University of Reason, aka Autonomy. I partnered with them recently, and they created this whole online course for me. It's 9 weeks long. You can watch and follow along and read the book as I go through each chapter. I read it with you, and I offer some tips and some exercises. There are two different options. You can either do DIY, where you just go through the 9-week course yourself, or if you want to have personal one-on-one sessions with me, there's also an option for that. So check that out, guys. I'll include both links below. Let's get back to the podcast.
Oh, you know what? That is so true. And this is a story I've never told on a podcast before. So we launched about 7 months ago. It was Earth Day. And we launched because Del Bigtree put a 33-minute segment together on the high wire, which it went global instantly. And we were prepared with our design team and with our cooperative. It was the next phase. Anyway, I'll get into that in a sec. Anyway, about a month after we launched, I got a call from the producer of The Crocodile Hunter who said, "Jim, we'd like to create a show around your vision for society." I said, "Great, let's do it. I've been planning for this kind of magic to start happening, and it's off the charts, the magic." And then 2 days later, I get a call from one of my favorite actors of all time. And he said, "Jim, I'd like to talk to you about doing a food forest." So my favorite producer, or the producer of my favorite show, and one of my favorite actors call me within 48 hours of each other. And we just finished a pilot TV show. While we were shooting the pilot, we went to a local farm-to-table garden place, a family that grew all of their stuff that they used in their restaurant right in their backyard. And when we were walking up with the cameras, this guy was standing kind of walking on the sidewalk. He goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're teaching people how to grow food." And he said, "Oh my gosh, this is the poorest area of," what was the name of that place? Bastrop, Texas, not far from Austin. He said, "This is kind of the poor area of Austin. And when this family moved in here and they started creating gardens and growing food, it literally changed the whole community." It's like magic because it brings in life. It increases vibration. It brings in butterflies and birds and all of these beautiful energies.
That's so beautiful, man, to hear that. Yeah. And so this is, I'm first of all, congratulations on the recent success, because you deserve it, not only for the work you're doing, you know, with Food Forest Abundance, but clearly you do have the bigger vision, which, we try to promote here and through the event like the Greater Reset, which we are going to be appearing at. We'll be talking about that in a moment. That there's a bigger vision. We're not just trying to wake people up to the problems, but to help manifest and shift us into a whole new direction where we do have more control of our lives. As you were talking about earlier, you know, we get away from the corrupt systems, including the food system, the economic system, the government itself, and realize that we can take care of ourselves, right? That's the bigger picture. That's the bigger vision. So to hear you having success around promoting that vision, for one, I'm not surprised, because I felt similarly recently. And I think that, you know, when you're doing the good work, things do line up and work out for you. And I'm sure you know that. You start to trust and know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're helping other people. You're doing good things. And so good things continue to come your way. So that's really amazing. Any idea when we'll see that pilot, or if that pilot's going to end up being a show, or Where's that project at?
Yeah, so the show's done. The trailer will be done this week. And at that point, we will be getting it to market, right? And I don't know this process. I've never been involved in Hollywood or movies or anything, but it was a fantastic experience. In fact, we had 31 people come from all over the place. People drove from Montana and New York and Minnesota and many other places to meet us in Texas to install an incredible food forest at this actor's house. And we installed a vineyard because he wanted to produce his own wine. And he could do like 300 to 500 bottles of wine per year from his own vineyard. We did what we kind of call a standard food forest, which is a diversity of different plants that benefit each other. And then we did a Chinese medicine wheel theme and all of this on video. And here's the magic of it. 31 people, who most of which have never met each other, did something that was very hard work that they'd never done before. There was not one disagreement or argument among the group in 5 days. It was pure magic.
That's beautiful, brother. Yeah. And I think that that's just, it's when you start creating food and building those systems with other people, it is a magical time. And it definitely is. It's something just as empowering, knowing you're helping somebody else, you're helping bring something beautiful to life like that. And obviously, that, like you said, that'll motivate people to drive from all over the country, and I'm sure to come work with alongside you. And, you know, I first heard about some of your work. It was through a friend before I actually saw the episode on the High Wire. We were doing the activation tour recently, myself and my partner, Miriam. We spent 2 months traveling around the country and doing volunteering, connecting to different communities and going to farms, urban farms and kind of bigger farms. And so we were in Orlando and connected with a gentleman who works with you in your food forest project. And so he was telling me a little bit about the way that you operate. And I think you'd mentioned this, that you have this sort of co-op model, even in the way that you are trying to run the business and help people get some of their own, it seems like, economic, financial independence through doing good things like this. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's right. Pablo, I'm so thankful that he made the introduction and connection. So the Food Forest Cooperative is a business that is, to say right for the times is really an understatement. We help people prepare and we help people grow food. That's our job as a business. The business is basically, it's a landscaping business, except for it's very functional landscaping. It's food forestry. So if you're interested, if anybody listening is interested in being in this business, to be positioned as somebody who can provide these solutions is just, it feels good. And it's very profitable, you know, just like landscaping. We work on about a 40% margin after labor and expenses and materials and fruit trees and all that. And so an average job of ours is around $15,000. Now that's going to go up probably by double because we are, by January 1, we're going to be the first entity that I know of that actually will finance the installation of a food forest. So we imagine it'll be about 25 to 30,000 on an average food forest install. And the customer can pay, you know, $400 or $500 a month instead of all that cash up front. And over time, the return on that investment gets just off the charts. Not only will they be producing more than $1,000 a month worth of food over time, right? With the first year is going to be real slow, unless you incorporate annuals into that. And then you can get a pretty good return year one. In fact, they say expect a 600% ROI on annual crops. Now, this is a mixture where we lean a lot on perennials as well. So to share with you the global reach of this, we started 7 months ago, and it's similar to a franchise in structure, in that we provide the brand and the model, we provide the design team and all the marketing assets. And then in a franchise world, if you sell 4 franchises year one, you're doing pretty good. We've sold about 55 just in the last 6 months all over the world. We're in New Zealand and Australia and Germany and Thailand and all over the place. And we are, as a company, our mission is to serve the cooperative, to serve our partners who are out in the field helping people grow food. And everything starts in that with design. The design is job one. We have a professional design team now. I believe we have a 17 or 18 people now on the design team, and their job is to design the backyard for the customer to be the whatever the customer wants within the parameters of their agricultural zone and what's possible in their area. And once they see what's possible, it gets really exciting.
Wow, that sounds so awesome. I'm looking forward to having you and your team come down to Mexico to help us when we get our property in the next couple months. This is something we want to do here and showcase other people as well. And honestly, I think that I'm probably going to have to get some of my family some surprise presents of, hey, we're building a food forest in your backyard, you know, and just get them a little food security while you know, it's a possibility. And that's really cool to hear the model. So just to clarify a little bit, so when you say like it's sort of like a franchise and like co-op in that way, and so if somebody wants to start one of these under, I guess, the brand of what you've created, they get access to the design team and everything you're saying, or how does that work?
And then they
go find the jobs and build the jobs and do it, right? Or do you, as your team, assist people, or is it, how does that work specifically?
Both. Okay. So specifically, let's say a customer is inspired to grow food. They either hear a podcast or see some of our marketing, or maybe the co-op themselves puts out the marketing and they inspire the customer. The first step is the design team will meet with that homeowner or landowner, and they will go through the design process. At the end of about 2.5-3 weeks, the food forest landscape architect will present a 45-page document called our Food Forest Landscape Blueprint. And that document will layer all the different details with regard to soil and climate and maintenance. And then within the document is the customer's specific design. Once that is done, then it goes to the local cooperative. Now, if the cooperative is new, let's say they've never done anything like this before, that's okay. It's literally a DIYable blueprint. So anybody can DIY it. Most people don't want to. If they own a home, they don't have the time. They don't want to shovel mulch and soil. So they'll outsource it. And that's the opportunity for the cooperative to come in and price out all of the different plants and the soil and the amendments and the mulch and then the labor, and then put the margin on there and then give the final bid. So if it's a $15,000 job, the co-op will walk away with about $6,000 when it's done. That might take like 4 people, 4 days. And that's the thing. Plus, oh, this is really fun. After our first couple, we realized that it's so much value for us to send somebody, especially if the person doesn't have any experience, that our company will send one of our professional team members to the job site and do the first job with you. And then by the time you're done with your first job, you'll get it.
Oh, that sounds really awesome. That's definitely a great opportunity. I mean, I'm sure as well with everything going on in relation to COVID right now, people losing their jobs, there might be people rethinking, you know, careers and maybe just looking for some work. And this sounds like something that might be worth considering for those who are in that, in that situation. And I mentioned that you are going to be presenting at our upcoming event, the Greater Reset Activation. This year, our theme for our third event is integration. And so we're trying to have even more hands-on workshops. We're going to be having folks like yourself, Curtis Stone, the urban farmer, also people like James Corbett, Foster Gamble, RFK Jr., and plenty of other great speakers who are going to be involved and talking in different areas. We're going to get you to speak about, of course, food independence and permaculture and these types of things, the work you've been doing. And obviously, feel free to take that as broad and wide as you like, because clearly you understand, like I was saying earlier, the bigger vision, the importance of that and the role that food is playing in that. But tell us a little bit about maybe some just super basic advice you would give to somebody who's considering this, other than obviously calling you, contacting your team. But if somebody is just in a position where they're just starting to get interested in food forests or this sort of, you know, department, what advice would you give to them?
I would give the same thing I did, is I got excited about it when I heard that it was a possibility. Before, I didn't even know that it was a possibility. Of course, they don't want to teach this stuff in schools because this directly leads to freedom. So when I started learning, I just dove into YouTube. I went to Bill Mollison and Jeff Lawton, And then I went every which direction from that, right? Nicholas Bertner and Pete Canaris and so many more. YouTube is loaded with permaculture videos. And when people start learning what's possible, they start going, I can't believe this. How come I never knew that this was possible? And then once that spark is lit, it's joyful. And by the way, what I'm asking people to consider is to be happy, to be joyful, to be healthy, right? I'm not saying you have to do this and none of that bullshit. In fact, I talked with Miriam today about we're going to lead a class on meditation. The first thing we need to do, right, if we want to live joyful lives, is we need to rise our vibrations out of programming. All programming is a block of reality, and most of it is intended to create fear or to create some type of situation where then they can sell you something. And when we rise above that through meditation, through getting in touch with the inner experience, and then finding out where our blockages are. That's job one, right? And then using the tools of meditation, the tools that Source gave us, or God, or whatever you want to, nature, whatever you want to call this magic that is all around us, this energy field that is everywhere. When we can tap into that and allow our minds to relax, then we can get an inspired idea. If you've got a thought here and a thought here, and these thoughts are rubbing up against each other, there's no space for anything new. You have to let those thoughts kind of fall away and then ask for ideas. And guess what? They will start coming. The magic will open up and unfold like you cannot even, it's mind-boggling what can happen when you get in touch with this energy field.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. Definitely. That's one other thing I'll mention, that I'll make sure to put this information in the show notes, that Jim is going to be one of the teachers for Miriam. For those who haven't heard or seen recently, she's been leading guided meditations as part of the Freedom Cell Network. It's just another kind of branching off of this international community we're building. And there are going to be teachers like Jim over the coming months who are going to be sharing their methods for getting yourself centered and balanced. So I hope you guys will check that out as well. What's the best place for people to follow your work, get in touch about Food Forest, and anything else you want to end with?
Yeah, for now, check us out at foodforestabundance.com. We do have a newsletter. It's free. And then very soon, we're going to be opening up channels all over. We do have a Telegram at Food Forest Abundance, and we're going to get a BitChute. I'm also developing an off-grid community, and we are going to be showing what it's like to be completely free and off-grid on a daily basis. And that's going to be probably on BitChute.
Wow. That'll be epic, brother. I look forward to seeing you and all of that. And again, thanks for the work that you are putting in. Look forward to connecting with you in maybe in person in Mexico at the Greater Reset. If not, I'm sure they're going to love having you in Texas, wherever you end up. We're happy to have you involved either way. And everybody out there, please take the opportunity to connect with Jim. Do not miss this chance. We have this window here to start building food independence and food security around the world. And this is somebody offering you that chance right now. So don't pass it up. Thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Activation Podcast. You can find the archives of our show on Spotify, Pinecast, Odyssey, Rockfin, and theconsciousresistance.com.